And this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
On today's program, Alice Bryant and Brian Lynn tell us about the rise in virtual schools in the United States as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Later, we hear the next episode of our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, a culture guide named Persephone welcomes travelers to Greece and takes them through a famous cave in the north. The guide moves smoothly around the underground area and can talk about it in 33 languages. Persephone is very intelligent. It also is a human-sized robot. The robot has been in operation for about a month at the Alistrati Cave, 135 kilometers northeast of the city of Thessaloniki. Persephone guides visitors through the first 150 meters of the cave that is open to the public. For the remaining 750 meters, a human guide takes over. The robot can give its part of the tour in 33 languages. It can also answer 33 questions, but only in the Greek language. Nikos Kartalis is the scientific director at the Alistrati site. He had the idea of creating the robot when he saw one on television guiding visitors at an art show. Persephone was built by the National Technology and Research Foundation and cost about 118,000 euros or 139,000 US dollars. People who had visited in the past are coming back to see the robot guide, said Kartalis. He added, many foreign visitors couldn't believe Greece had the capacity to build a robot and use it as a guide in the cave. The robot moves along a walkway in the cave system. Mineral formations within the cave can reach 15 meters long. This cave is one of the most beautiful, not only in Greece, but in Europe as well, Kartalis said. It has stalactites and stalagmites in many shapes and colors, even red. Kartalis said the cave is 3 million years old and was first explored in 1974. It opened to visitors in 1998. Persephone, with a white body, black head, and two bright eyes, moves on wheels. It guides visitors to the first three of eight stops along the walkway. It can do two more stops, but it is too slow for the tour. Persephone's creators are considering ways to increase her speed. The robot begins the tour by saying, my name is Persephone. I am the daughter of the goddess Demeter and the wife of Pluto, the god of the underworld. I welcome you to my under-earth kingdom, the Alistrati Cave. Many visitors are interested in the robot guide. Patrick Marcus traveled to Greece from the Czech Republic. It was surprising for me, he said. I've never experienced such a thing. He added he enjoyed the slower speed of the robot guide. It goes slower, so I can look around, Marcus said. Marcus listened to the robot in his native Czech language for the first three tour stops. He heard the rest in English from a human tour guide. Evdokia Karafera is a human guide who partners with Persephone. It is helpful because it speaks many languages, she said. There's just a little delay in the touring. She added, most find it fascinating, especially the children, and find it interesting that it speaks many languages. Cara Farah noted, however, that human tour guides must remain part of the operation. Robots at some point in the future will take over many jobs, she said, but I believe they cannot replace humans everywhere. Visitors say the robot is interesting, original, but can't substitute for the human contact with the guide and the conversation we can have on the way back.
There has been a long list of difficulties with distance learning during the pandemic, but public school systems across the United States are now setting up more virtual learning centers. They hope to serve families who feel remote learning works best for their children. 38 state education departments answered an Associated Press survey this summer. Their answers showed more permanent virtual schools and programs will be in place in the coming school year. Some parents are concerned about the coronavirus, but they also like the independence that comes with remote schooling. In addition, schools want to improve attendance. They have seen too many students leave for virtual schools, homeschooling, private schools, and other choices. Fewer students could mean less financing for school districts. Dan Dominich is executive director of the American Association of School Administrators. He said virtual schooling is the future. Some of these states might be denying it now, but soon they will have to get in line because they will see other states doing it, he said. And they will see why it is a good idea. Karen Strauss is a parent in the U.S. state of New Jersey. She lost a brother-in-law to the pandemic. Her vaccinated teenager will return to school in person. But she wants her 5-year-old son, Logan, at home until he can get the vaccine. Strauss said Logan has done well online under the guidance of his teachers. If learning from home is what's best for them, why not do that? What's the reason except that people are afraid of change, she said.
School districts' plans for long-term, full-time virtual programs grew during the pandemic. Students in virtual learning centers usually are educated separately from a district's other students. In Virginia, before the pandemic, most local virtual programs offered individual classes only to grades 6 through 12. Few offered full-time learning. But in the new school year, 110 of Virginia's 132 school districts will use Virtual Virginia, a state-operated program that includes all grades. It will provide some or all of their full-time virtual schooling, spokesperson Charles Pyle said. So far, more than 7,500 students have enrolled in Virtual Virginia full-time for the fall. That compares with just a little over 400 students in the 2019-20 school year, he said. In Tennessee, state officials approved 29 new online schools for the 2021-22 school year. That is more than two times the number created over the last 10 years, spokesperson Brian Blackley said. Like most U.S. states, New Mexico is requiring schools to offer in-person learning this year. But the Rio Rancho Public Schools used federal money to add the remote Spark Academy for K-5 grades. A survey found nearly 600 of the 7,500 student families wanted to continue virtual schooling. The spread of COVID-19's Delta variant and rising infection rates have caused worry at the start of the school year. But President Joe Biden and educators across the country suggest returning to in-person schooling. Their main concern is that many students were served poorly by distance learning. Test scores in Texas showed the percentage of students reading at their grade level fell to the lowest levels since 2017. Louisiana test scores also showed that public school students who attended in-person classes during the pandemic did better. Research before the pandemic raised questions about the performance of fully virtual schools. A 2019 report from the National Education Policy Center said data was limited by inconsistent reporting and school requirements. But it showed that only 48.5% rated acceptable out of 320 virtual schools with available ratings.
Dominich said families seeking virtual schooling often have children who are strong students. Remote learning is great for personalized learning because it lets them move at their own speed, he said. States handle remote learning requirements differently. Massachusetts, for example, requires districts to give proposals that include details about equitable access, curriculum, and demand. New online schools in Arizona have a trial period until student performance proves the schools are academically sound. At least some of the virtual schools that districts set up may never take in students. In North Carolina, 52 districts made plans for fully virtual schools. Some were set up only in case they were needed, says Education Department spokesperson Mary Lee Gibson. States like New Jersey, Texas, and Illinois have removed widespread remote choices. Instead, they are giving the choice to students with special situations. But some parents are pushing back. New Jersey mother Deborah Odor said she wants her son and daughter to continue schooling remotely this year for health reasons. They are too young to be vaccinated. I'm Alice Bryant,
And I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, a program of American history for people learning English. I'm Steve Ember. On March 4th, 1801, Thomas Jefferson walked to the Capitol building in Washington. He was about to be inaugurated as the third president of the United States. He entered the Capitol to the thunder of cannon. All the senators and representatives stood until Jefferson sat down. A few moments later, the newly elected president rose and began to read his inaugural speech.
The most famous line in it is, "We are all Federalists, we are all Republicans." It was a statement about, after all of the bitter partisanship of the 1790s, as bitter as anything we see in America in the 2010s, Jefferson says he's going to create a kind of bipartisan presidency.
Historian Joseph Ellis is the author of many books about America's founders. He says Thomas Jefferson's speech was one of the best inaugural addresses in American history. Friends and fellow citizens, I have been called to the position of chief executive of our country. I must tell you how honored and thankful I am. But I must tell you, too, of my fears. Yes, I must tell you that the duties of your president are too much for any one man. However, I tell myself that I am not alone. When I see all your faces, I understand the wisdom of those who wrote our Constitution. For in you, the members of Congress, and in the judicial branch of our government, I know that I shall find the strength, the honesty, the courage that I shall need. We have passed through a hard year of bitter struggle between two political parties. We have shown the world that in America, all can speak, write, and think freely. The debate is over. The people have decided. Now is the time for all of us to unite for the good of all. The majority of the people have won the contest. But we must always remember that there is a minority. True, the majority must rule. But the rule of the majority must be just. The rights of the minority are equal to the rights of the majority and must be protected with equal laws. Let us unite with hearts and minds. Let us have peace and love in our relations with each other. For without peace and love, liberty and life are sad things indeed. Let us remember that the religious freedom which we have in the United States is nothing if we do not have political freedom. If we permit men to be punished because they do not agree with the majority. For hundreds of years in Europe, men have killed and have been killed in the name of liberty. It is not surprising, then, that even here, in our peaceful land, all cannot agree. But it is possible to have different ideas without forgetting our common wish. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists. Most of us love our country. Most of us want it to grow. There may be among us those who want to end the Union of the States or to end our Republican government. Well then, let those men speak freely without fear. They are wrong, but America is strong enough to let them say what they wish. When men can think and speak freely, there is no danger to the nation. For those who do not agree with them also have the right to think and speak freely. There are some honest Americans who are afraid that a Republican government cannot be strong. But I ask these good men one question. Do they want us to destroy a government which has kept us strong and free for 10 years? I hope not. We have here in the United States the best and strongest government in the world. This is the only nation on the earth whose citizens know that the government belongs to them. Then there are some who say that men cannot govern themselves. What do they offer us instead? Government by kings? Are kings men, or are they angels? I will let history answer this question. Let us keep our union and our government by the people through their elected representatives. We are very fortunate here in the New World. Three 3,000 miles of ocean separate us from the wars and the dictatorships of Europe. Here we do not suffer as the people of Europe do. Here we have a great and rich land, with room for 100, perhaps 1,000 generations of Americans yet to be born. We and the American children who will come after us all have equal rights. We honor a man not because of his father, but for what the man is. We do not care what religion a man follows. In this country, men practice religion in many ways. Yet all our religions teach honesty, truth, and the love of man. All worship one God who rules the universe, who wants men to be happy in life. Yes, we are a fortunate people. What more do we need to make us happy? We need one more thing, my fellow citizens, a wise government. A government that keeps men from injuring each other. A government that gives men freedom to live and work in peace as they wish, and does not take from them the fruit of their labor. That is good government. In my short speech, I cannot tell you all the things that I believe our government should do and should not do, but I will tell you what I believe to be the most important principles of our government. This is what I believe in. The same and equal justice to all men no matter what their religion, their political beliefs, or their class. Peace, trade, and friendship with all nations, but alliances for war with no nations. Support of the rights of the state governments, which are the best defenders of our republic. A strong central government under the Constitution to protect our peace at home and our safety in other parts of the world. We must keep the right of the people to elect their representatives. This is the safe way to change governments that make mistakes. Without the right of election, we will have bloody revolution. In our election, the majority must rule. This is the lifeblood of a republic. If the majority is not allowed to rule, then we will have dictatorship. America should have a good volunteer army to protect us in peace and in the first days of war until we use professional soldiers. But at all times, the civil officers of the government must be first over the military officers. The rights of man will be of the highest importance in this government. Information, knowledge, and opinions must move easily and swiftly. We will support freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the person protected by the habeas corpus, and the right to trial by juries that are chosen fairly. These are the freedoms that brought us through a revolution and that made this nation. Our wise men wrote these freedoms. Our heroes gave their lives for these freedoms. They are the stones on which our political philosophy must be built. If we make the mistake of forgetting them, let us return to them quickly, for only these rights of man can bring us peace, liberty, and safety. Well then, my fellow citizens, I go to the position which you have given me. I am no George Washington. I cannot ask you to believe in me as you did in the man who led us through our revolution, the man who will always be first in the love of our country. I ask only that you give me your support and your strength. I know that I shall make mistakes, and even when I am right, there will be men who will say that I am wrong. I ask you to forgive my mistakes, which I promise will at least be honest mistakes. And I ask you to support me when I am right against the attacks of those who are wrong. Always my purpose will be to strengthen the happiness and freedom of all Americans, those who do not agree with me, as well as those who do. I need you. I go to my work as President of the United States ready to leave that position when you and the American people decide that there is a better man for it. May the power that leads the universe tell us what is best and bring to you peace and happiness.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.